as the Hitler of Hindutva. Praveen Sogadia and people like him need to be arrested under the anti-terrorism legislation that the government has used so readily, he said, if the country is not to slide into another spiral of violence. This is Sputnik Kilambi reporting for Free Speech Radio News.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And this is radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is 7:01. Time, once again, for Off the Hook. This is Off the Hook. Good evening. We haven't been here in a couple of weeks, but we're back now. Emmanuel Goldstein here for the next hour, along with various others who are here in the studio. Say hi, everybody.
Hi, hello, everyone.
Hey, what's up? So, it's as usual. There are all kinds of declining civilization kind of things going on with all kinds of infringements to freedom. Sarah, was it you who was telling me that someone was arrested today for wearing a peace T-shirt? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. So that's now illegal to wear a peace T-shirt in public.
Well, you know, they're saying it's not in public.
Uh-huh.
They're saying it's in private.
Oh, because it's at a mall, right? And malls are private property.
Well,
is that what they're saying? So they can dictate speech now?
Malls are this nether region, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really something. Well, you know, I always like to do fun things as well as serious things, and I like to start off with the fun thing, and of course that involves a dial tone going out into the world out there, which is still out there as far as I know. I tried this from someplace else, and thanks, Jeff. Jeff is holding the phone so the phone doesn't move as I press the buttons, because I have to press the buttons so hard to get them to register. Okay, we're going to be requested to enter our special code. Okay, I'll turn down the volume for that and hope that the little tones go through. And let's see if we get
welcome
connected.
Welcome to
yes.
The conference call, a service of www.freeconference.com.
No, that's not an ad for them.
For a free description of this service and instructions on how to use it, press 1. To either create or enter a conference call, please press 2.
Okay, we're going to create a conference call here.
Or stay on. Now, you can either create a new conference or enter an existing conference. You must already know the access code of the conference you wish to enter or create. Please dial the access code now, followed by the pound key.
Okay, I'm going to enter a number that nobody else knows, and then follow it with the pound sign.
Access
code.
I
know it.
99.
Ah.
The first one to arrive.
Okay, I'm the first
conference.
One to arrive
this
at the conference.
Correct. Press 1. To enter a different access code, press 2.
You know, that one was compromised, so I'm going to
please
enter a different
one.
Please
dial the access code now, followed by the pound key.
Okay, because I'm just worried that somebody might have heard that. I want to make sure that we're the only ones in there. Oh, didn't hit the pound sign. Okay, and she's speaking now, hopefully.
The first one to arrive
okay,
at
the first
conference.
One.
If this is correct, press 1.
0.
Callers are already on the conference. Please announce yourself.
Okay, we're here. We've arrived at this teleconference, and now what we're going to do is we're going to put this on hold. I can't do that because I pressed that button. Now I'm going to put it on hold, and I'm going to come in again on this line here. And yes, I know I'm giving out the phone number, but it's so much fun, you know. You can spend hours amusing yourself doing things like this. Now we have to enter this special code again. Okay, now we'll get connected, and we'll have to enter that same code. Oh, no. The AI phone system strikes again. Okay, we have to start from scratch. All right. The problem there was that my special code was not registered, because I had to press these buttons so hard, and I don't want the special code to go out over the air, because if that happens, I don't know what will happen if our special code goes out over the air. Okay. Go, and hopefully that worked. I don't think it worked. I don't think the other number registered. I'm going to try this one more time, then I'm going to give up, because time is precious here. I almost feel like pressing the buttons for the secret code over the air so I know they registered. Okay, here we go. Really hard now. Okay.
Welcome to the conference call, a service of www.freeconference.com. For a complete description of this service and instructions on how to use it, press 1. To either create or enter a conference call, please press 2. Now, you can either create a new conference or enter an existing conference. You must already know the access code of the conference you wish to enter or create. Please dial the access code now, followed by the pound key.
Okay, now I'm going to enter the numbers. I don't care if people hear them now.
You entered access code
68.
You were the first one to arrive.
No, that's not
conference.
What I entered.
If this is correct, press 1. To enter a different access code, press 2. Please dial the access code now, followed by the pound key.
We really have to get a new
if
phone
here. If
you
wish to exit, press 0, then the pound key.
1.
Callers are already on the conference. Please announce yourself.
Okay, now for the fun. This is where I press this button here, right? And then I hit this button here. And then I talk. Hello. Well, it's kind of cool, don't you think? Actually, I tried this from my house, and I was getting a different kind of feedback that just sort of went louder and louder and louder until it finally blew out my phone. Well, it's kind of cool, don't you think?
That's pretty cool.
It's not there you go. It's not as cool as when I was trying it from my house. Okay. You see the phone you had? I know, it's a waste of air time to do this when we have serious things to talk about, but I just think a little fun is in order.
But it's cutting edge.
Yeah, and you know, if there are people out there that are smart, they can join us on this. They have to figure out. They have to figure out the phone number.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is going on in the world?
You can relax, you know.
I can relax because we're yellow now?
We're back at yellow.
Yeah, I feel so relaxed. I really do.
Don't you?
No, I don't feel relaxed at all.
Does that mean we're cowards?
I don't really know. I don't think it means anything, actually.
All I know is when I was growing up, if anybody called us yellow, they'd have a fight on their hands.
Well, but now it was Tom Ridge.
Now we're proud.
What's going on now?
Yeah.
We gave out Tom Ridge's phone number last week. Call him up. Have a conversation.
Yeah, you know, he's still out there. 1-800-BE-READY, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's Tom Ridge for you. I'll tell you, looking at all the things that are happening, all the websites and phone numbers and hotlines and alerts that are going out, it feels like bad science fiction. It really does. It feels like, you know, this is how somebody prophesized it would happen, and these people are kind of like following along, like it's a script or something. So what developments have we had in the past week, besides somebody being arrested for wearing a peace symbol on a shirt? Was that what it was?
It was Give Peace a Chance.
Oh, isn't that like a communist anthem?
Actually, isn't it the name of a song?
Yeah, communist anthem by the communist leader John Lennon.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about this? A small plane whose frequent unexplained flights over the city that is of Bloomington, Indiana, had raised fears among some residents. And it turns out that it is, in fact, being used by the FBI, according to officials. The FBI said last Thursday that the plane is being used in monitoring people who might have terrorist connections. Actually, no, that was one Thursday ago. I correct myself yet again. Earlier in the week, when aviation officials disclosed that the aircraft was conducting surveillance, the FBI had denied any link to the plane. So the FBI said it was not them, and now the FBI says it is them. Either they don't know where their planes are, or they're lying.
Our government is lying to us?
And to everybody else in the world, apparently, including to the rest of the world. Agent Thomas Fuentes said the FBI issued the denial because a reporter asked if the airplane is doing electronic surveillance, which it is not. Oh, a loophole. How intriguing. Fuentes and Agent James H. Davis said the FBI is not aware of any threat to Bloomington or the state, but is watching many foreign nationals. You would think Bloomington would be high on the list of any terrorist activity, but apparently they don't think that it's that much at risk. Besides individuals, and this could hold true, imagine if Bloomington has an FBI plane hovering above it. Imagine what New York City has. Besides individuals, they said the aircraft is monitoring vehicles and, get this, businesses, particularly those open late at night, from which faxes or emails can be sent. An airplane is up there in the sky watching businesses that are open late at night that could be sending faxes. You know? Wouldn't it make more sense to just bug the fax line rather than have an airplane up above the... I mean, I'd like to know what they're talking about in that area. Hey, look, there's somebody walking into a Kinko's. Well, we're going to have to put on the binoculars and look through their window somehow.
But how do you do that with an airplane? An airplane can't
That's
hover.
What I don't understand. Unless they're using, like, heat-sensitive, you know, sensors or something. I don't know. Okay. Residents in this city of 69,000 have seen the white single-engine Cessna 182... at least since February 19th, making passes overhead at around noon in the late evening and after midnight. So pretty much all the time. Several of Indiana University, which is home to, near Bloomington anyway, several of their students have been questioned by FBI agents. University and agency officials have confirmed. Agency spokesman Doug Garrison would not say if those interviews were related to national security or the airplane's flights. Well, I'd like to know, there are a lot of college students listening to us, if any of them have been questioned by the FBI or by any government agency, or for that matter, by any terrorist groups that might be out there recruiting people as well, because I understand they're everywhere, you know, they're handing out leaflets in Penn Station trying to get people on their side.
No, you're thinking of the National Guard.
Oh, the National Guard, we're not fighting them?
No.
Oh.
Well, some of us maybe.
I'll have to change my plans then.
I shouldn't say that on the air. I'm not fighting the National Guard, Mr. People.
But they're not part of the Axis of Evil anymore.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. Thanks for updating me, Mike. You have the case of Venezuela. You know they're losing their time because of all the problems down there?
They're losing their time?
Yeah, it's they call it a bizarre mass malfunction. Venezuela's clocks are ticking too slowly due to a power shortage weakening the electric current nationwide. By the end of each day, the sluggish timepieces still have another 150 seconds to tick before they catch up to midnight. Everything that has to do with timekeeping has slowed down. If it's an electronic clock, it's running slow, said the general manager of the National Power Grid. Your computer is not affected. Your television isn't affected. No other devices, just clocks. The meltdown has taken a total of 14 hours and 36 minutes from Venezuela's clocks over 12 of the past 13 months.
Don't electric clocks use quartz, which vibrate at the same rate no matter how much power is going through it? Stand up the electrical.
You might be thinking of digital clocks. Well, okay, for common quartz clocks, the slight drop in frequency slows the vibration of the crystal that regulates timekeeping. They say people must be going nuts.
So they're losing a day every 2 years?
Well, if they've already lost 14 hours in the last year, then a little less than that, I guess, or a little more than that. Of course, this is causing all kinds of mayhem with air traffic controllers and other people as well. But this person here, Rene Oserno, says, "I wake with the sun. And if you're 2 minutes late to the office and everybody else is too, there's no problem." That's a good philosophy, huh? Absolutely. This is interesting. Maybe someone here can help me with this. This is a story about NASA and the recent space shuttle disaster. A videotape that... hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm fine. I was...
Were you on the same subway train as me?
No, I was on Venezuelan time, actually.
Do you have a note?
Yeah, but it's in Spanish. I don't think anybody here reads it.
Don't be too sure. Yeah, you're supposed to read it. Yeah, so we might ask you to read it on the air. A videotape that shows activities aboard the Space Shuttle Columbia as it reentered the atmosphere was released last Friday by NASA. Now, this is interesting. You have to wonder, where did this tape come from? Were they recording it at, you know, NASA headquarters, or did it actually make it through the atmosphere all the way to the ground? I mean, I've dropped tapes on the ground from where I stand, you know, from my hands, and they've broken. So this thing comes all the way from orbit, lands on the ground in Texas someplace. Nobody steals it, for one thing, and it's playable. That's hard to imagine. But the partially scorched and burned tape was recovered near Palestine, Texas, that is, near Moscow, Idaho, I don't know, Paris, Texas, that's what I was thinking of, during a search for shuttle debris. The videotape runs about 13 minutes long, but stops short of the first sign of trouble on the spacecraft, which broke up on February 1st. Okay. what's interesting is when the explanation that they give, let's see, what do they, it includes 9 minutes before and 4 minutes after reentry and ends about 11 minutes before Mission Control lost the signal from the doomed orbiter. Now, here's the explanation for that. Shuttle crews usually record their entire return flight to landing, but we believe the rest of the tape was destroyed during the mishap. This is NASA saying this. Now, how is that possible? It's a tape, right? The tape made it to the ground. Why would only the part of the tape that recorded the disaster be destroyed? Don't they mean maybe the shuttle was destroyed and that's why the tape wasn't recorded?
I got it.
Okay, what
all right, you? Okay. I don't know if you've ever had high-end photographic equipment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But usually it comes in a nice plastic case with padding inside. That's inside some locker on the space shuttle, which is inside the crew compartment, which is inside the shuttle. They had big pieces come and land, okay? So that's how the thing got back relatively intact.
Okay.
Secondly, it's a relatively standard video cassette type thing.
Mm-hmm. VHS tape?
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know if it actually is
probably
VHS,
not, but let's
but
just say it is.
It's similar. What's the last stuff recorded? It's on the outside of the reel.
Mm-hmm.
That gets burned off.
No. The camera that was doing the recording was outside. That burned up, therefore ending your transmission to the tape that was on the inside. So I can see it from that standpoint. No camera, no signal.
Wait, but weren't they talking? Didn't you hear their voices? I don't think the camera from the outside could have gotten that.
Well, that's radio.
The camera was inside the cockpit. I saw a clip of the video. So it was filmed from inside the cockpit.
Yeah, I think it was on the. I don't know if it was handheld. It might have been handheld.
They probably stowed it.
But I don't think that. My point is, I don't think the rest of the tape was destroyed. I think everybody died and the shuttle got destroyed, and that's why it was never recorded. I think that's the right explanation.
Well, that's possible, too.
I think that's very probable. Who's going to be recording stuff when you're breaking up in the atmosphere?
Or the wire to the, you know, the signal stops. Uh-huh. And you can't have any more recording.
Right. But I just don't think that part of the tape was destroyed.
Well,
you know?
It's possible that
only
part
the
of the tape
part,
is destroyed
only the part that.
That's on the outside of this roll of tape. When you record tape, it starts on one spool,
mm-hmm.
goes past your heads,
mm-hmm.
and ends up on the other spool. The first part recorded ends up closest to the spool. The last part recorded is on the outside. If you have an
you might be right. No, that does make sense. Now
external heat source, the mm-hmm. outside gets recorded. That's the last period of time.
Mm-hmm. And all the
burnt, rather, the outside gets burnt. That's the last period of time recorded.
Uh-huh. I guess that is possible.
It's not as weird as it sounds.
But how do you know it was ever recorded in the first place, then?
We don't know if it was ever recorded in the first place, but if it was, the destruction of the end is not a surprising thing.
Okay, well, that's a good explanation. I can accept that. It's better than
not everything is a conspiracy theory. Keep that in mind.
Well, no, I didn't think it was a conspiracy theory. I just thought it was kind of, incompetent,
perhaps.
Well, I did
think you did. I just wanted to warn those listeners who think we're Art Bell.
Mm-hmm. Who thinks we're Art Bell?
There are four or five out there.
Oh, boy. Maybe Art Bell is one of them. We've had a lot of listener feedback, obviously, since we haven't been on the air in a couple of weeks. And the last time we were on the air, we were doing a fundraiser. By the way, thanks, everybody, for your support. We raised just about $5,000, just shy of $5,000, and that's really great for 2 hours. We are still in the process of designing we're going to give people? The hooded sweatshirts.
And T-shirts.
And the off-the-hook T-shirts. We're going to have a meeting after the show, so we're going to hammer things out. That should be out pretty soon. Just make sure you pay your pledge and you'll get the goods. This person wrote in about the Neverlaw system, which is what I was using when I was traveling cross country over the past month or so. I experienced this system. He has a different name for it. He calls it Everlost. So I guess that kind of tells you his philosophy of it. I experienced this system a lot while traveling a few years ago. The person I was traveling with trusted it, so did they did the driving. I navigated by reading signs and maps. Fortunately, I was able to get us there after the system got us lost. Everlost is neat, but its map system can't cope with detours. It also has a lot of roads on it that weren't built yet. We experienced traveling from Denver Airport to Boulder. In New Jersey, we tried to let it select a restaurant. The address we were sent to turned out to be in the middle of I-95. Well, maybe that's a comment on New Jersey cuisine. I don't know.
Hey.
I'm just saying, the problem with the system is if people trust it, they will get lost, your last comments reflected my experience. I think that's true of any kind of technology. If you trust it, you will trust it too much without thinking about it, you'll come to grief. Madison, Wisconsin. If anybody has Neverlost, go to Madison, Wisconsin, and you'll experience real confusion there because half the streets don't exist. I don't know why. They're not new streets. They just don't exist. It's like they forgot to draw a part of Madison, Wisconsin onto this thing. And if anybody out there has experience with Never Lost or Ever Lost, whatever it is you want to call it, please let us know. Let's see. Oh, this is interesting. Remember we accessed on this computer here, which is still here. I'm happy to see. www.ready.gov. Last time we were here, we were...
That's
a frightening site.
It's either frightening or absolutely hilarious, and it makes me much happier to think the latter.
Uh-huh.
I could be wrong.
Oh, my God. Is that our new website? That looks so nice. The BAI website. Have you seen the new BAI website?
I have not.
Well, look at it.
Well, you can't.
I can't.
Well, actually, I can
swivel the
monitor. Oh, look at that.
Isn't that nice?
That's a nice computer with a swivel monitor.
It's a nice computer, too, but that's different. But if anybody hasn't seen it yet, go to www.wbai.org. That is really nice looking. I'm very impressed. And according to that, we made our $1.2 million goal, which is a record for us here at WBAI, which, again, thanks to all the listeners for bringing us there. Yes. That's unbelievable. So our $5,000 is part of that, and you know, it's just a microcosm. One person calls in and helps us reach the $5,000 goal. One show puts in a certain amount, helps us reach $1.2 million, and all of that comes together and keeps the station going. But anyway, as I was saying, www.ready.gov, we accessed it and found a big typo where they were talking about if you're driving in a car and the world ends, be sure to pull over and apply your emergency brake. And they spelled brake, B-R-E-A-K. And we found this live on the air because I didn't even know that was there before. And this person writes in that a couple of hours afterwards it was fixed. So that means they are listening to us or somebody is reporting to them. I mean, it was fixed in the middle of the night. So somebody had to run down to the office and...
I heard they pledged, too, so that was nice.
Did
also.
They? Yes.
Did they?
The home guard, or whatever they're called, pledged. It's very nice. What else is going on? Anybody else have interesting stories? Sir, what do you have?
Well, the Transportation Security Administration is starting this month testing a program called CAMPS, which is a system for screening passengers before they even get on the plane. It's at the point where you book your flight. The CAPS system goes into action. And,
oh, wait, just one second. Isn't there already a CAPS? This is CAPS 2, I think?
This is actually CAPS 2,
okay.
I'm sorry.
All right.
And it's Computer-Assisted Passenger Pre-Screening 2.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that they assign you, and are you ready for this, a red, yellow, or green color, which goes onto your boarding pass based on information that they call from a background check. And that background check includes not only stuff that you might expect, like maybe a criminal record or something like that,
mm-hmm.
but they investigate your credit card, your banking history, things like that.
How does my credit card banking history, how does that information determine if I'm a terrorist?
I don't know, but here's the quote that really counts. This is someone from the Transportation Security Administration, and they're saying that they want to see that you're, here we go. We're trying to answer the simple question, is this individual a known and rooted member of the community?
Oh, boy.
Now, look, where I live, there really is no community that I know of. I
mm-hmm.
mean, maybe if I, you know, was a little girl who took dance lessons or something like that, I'd be more fortunate in that regard. But
mm-hmm.
I'm not. There's no community. People don't know who I am. I'm a law-abiding citizen.
Oh, I think you're wrong. Yeah, I think everybody knows who you are. I see the looks you get in your community.
People in my town don't know who I am. I'm not a member of the community.
Uh-huh.
Why shouldn't I be able to fly?
Well... Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're saying you can't fly, but they're certainly, like, talking about you behind your back, you know?
Well, I'm at least going to be yellow for not, you know, going to town hall meetings.
Well, okay, do you have what the codes mean? What do the colors mean?
Well, green means that you're just going to pass through security as normal, the way we have for at least all of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow will require additional screening, and I actually was the subject of that. I flew from Florida to New York very shortly after September 11th. And I was flagged for additional security checks. And I don't know whether that was random or whether it was the result of some kind of background check. But
uh-huh.
That
always happens to me.
They went through my bags, and I was moving a lot of stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
boy, it must have taken them a good 20 minutes just to do me. And I had a little X somewhere on my boarding pass. So I guess that's yellow.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're red, you're not allowed to fly at all.
And are you arrested or detained? Or what happens to you then?
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But it's not good.
Well, okay, let me just try something here, because I don't even know if I have their number memorized. I might. Thank you. Let's hold that phone real tight there.
See, I had heard something completely different.
Hang on, this, I think this is Delta. If not, it's another airline.
Thank you for calling Delta Airlines.
Isn't that cool? I remember their number.
Visit our website.
Okay, I'm going to hit zero. Talk to a human.
www.
Hopefully this won't take too long. They must be getting a lot of calls about this. I guess we should call ahead and let them know they're going to be on the radio, so they...
Thank you for calling Delta Airlines.
You sound like a recording.
All representatives are currently serving other customers.
Mm-hmm.
As part of our ongoing commitment to our customers, Delta will always offer you the lowest fare available for the date, flight, and class of service you request.
What about profiling? What about the profiling?
We also welcome you to visit our website at delta.com, where lower fares may be available.
Okay, we'll give this about a minute or so. If nobody picks up, we'll...
So they're not telling the truth about offering the lowest price.
Your call will be answered as soon as a representative becomes available.
Now, I think I just hit a button where they can't hear me, so we can actually talk
freely. You may check
freely.
Times by airport.
Well, as I started to say,
yes,
I got the impression from...
Hang on, listen.
Thank you.
Hello, I was wondering, are you doing that passenger profiling?
Profile.
Yeah, where basically you're given a color, red, yellow, or green, depending on if you're considered dangerous or something.
Let me just check.
Okay, thanks.
I'm not aware of that.
All right. Oh, isn't this nice? That's checking for
us. For 10 minutes.
Well, she's going to be flagged for asking this question.
Good news for all you e-ticket fans.
Ooh.
Now check-in is even quicker with our new self-service check-in kiosk. Just swipe your SkyMiles membership card or a major credit card to check yourself and your family in.
What is this Western type nonsense? All right, Jeff, you interrupted so many times.
No, it's okay. I had heard that red was kind of like cherry. You were a sweetheart. They liked you. Yellow, you were a sourpuss. Green just meant you needed a mint.
I say, okay. Well, that's a good way to trick people there. All right, what else do we know about the system? Anything?
I have a question.
Yes.
How do they access your banking and credit history unless they have your Social Security number?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they get that. And plus, you don't need Social Security number to access.
All they need is one credit card or something similar.
Yeah. But, I mean, they can look you up with them. I mean, just consider they have access to everything. So your name, they could look at everybody named Charles.
That would not be Delta. That would be a TSA, Transportation Safety Administration. And I can give you their telephone number.
Could you do that? Thank you.
It's 866. 289-9673.
289-9673?
Yes, sir.
And that's 866.
Right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Oh, I cut her off. TSA, you know, I was driving past MacArthur Airport, which is our local airport. Down. I'm afraid to call these people.
Well.
and basically, there's this big sign at MacArthur Airport now as you drive in and past the point where you can turn around saying, TSA, all cars are subject to search. And, you know, while you're driving, they can stop you and search your car now. Well, it's really frightening and scary.
I have an update on that.
Yes.
A lot of airports actually started questioning if they're required to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually started calling the ACLU to see if it's a violation of privacy. And a lot of them actually refused to do car searching, random car searching.
Uh-huh.
So that's...
A lot of who refused to do it? TSA people?
Oh, it's... A few, I think, in Maryland, some airports. I can get them.
The airports are refusing?
Yeah, the actual airports. Which
interesting.
Is interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's something I'd like to know about. Okay, we'll call this number because I guess it's our duty. Yeah, please hold that phone. It's really hard to do this. I'm exerting about 20 pounds of pressure every time I press the button here.
I like how she called them the Transportation Safety Administration.
What are they?
Security.
Oh, right. Well, security is safety, after all.
Hmm.
Haven't you been reading? All right, let's see what happens. Same thing. You know, we should call ahead.
You have reached the TSA's Consumer Response Center. There are customer service representatives available to take your call. From 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, including federal holidays. Please leave your name, phone number, including area code, and the purpose of your call so that we may contact you. You may record your message at the tone. When you are finished, you may hang up or hold for more options.
Wait a minute. All right, I'm sorry. I'm a little confused. You said you're open until 10 o'clock. It's 7:30. You might have a Venezuelan clock or something. I don't know. Okay, I'll try calling back later then, but I'll hold for more options. Okay, now, well, I think if I don't talk now, they'll give me more options. Or maybe they'll just hang up. What? I don't know. That's weird. That's very weird.
What if you just push pound?
I tried that, and I didn't hear anything. I think they disconnected us or something. I don't know. That's kind of spooky, to be honest.
That's odd.
Yeah. And now, of course, they probably got our caller ID. They probably have pictures of us from those airplanes.
I have a slightly related story.
Yeah.
As you know, I play poker. And poker players, especially the professional ones who enter tournaments, tend to carry large amounts of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And with the new security regulations, when they randomly pull you aside and search you, there are cases of people being delayed for quite a number of hours for carrying large sums of cash within the country.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to carry over $10,000 overseas. There's a story in the current issue of Card Player magazine, which is the industry magazine, of a well-known player who's going to a tournament in Tunica, Mississippi. He's got $50,000 in a carry-on. They search his carry-on. They can see he's got a bundle of money, and they insist on searching the money. And he says, essentially, no way. You ain't touching that money. You can see it's money. I'll rifle through it to make sure that, you know, that there's no box cutter in there.
Mm-hmm.
No, they held him for about approximately 12 hours, insisting that they needed to search the money.
Search the money.
Search the money.
And did they find anything in the money?
They never searched the money. Finally, saner heads prevailed. Uh-huh. They saw he had no weapon. They let him go on his way.
Of course, he had probably missed all his connections by then.
Right. And the point is this. You know, you're carrying that amount of cash inside the country, which is perfectly legal. You don't want them to take it into a back room and search it. Which
right. Where did this happen?
Somewhere on the way to Tunica, Mississippi. Exactly where, I don't know offhand.
But it was coming from this country to the same country.
You got it.
Leaving the country.
You got it.
And who was it who did this?
The TSA.
Well, how does the TSA stop you as you're traveling from one city to another? He was on an airplane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Changing planes.
Just changing planes.
Changing planes. Possibly changing airlines.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he was the randomly selected passenger.
Wow. Well, okay. Since we didn't get through to the TSA, maybe one of our listeners can try it as well. And we'll try it after the show, I guess. Let us know what you find out. This is interesting. We're also going to take phone calls, 212-209-2900, country code 1. For those of you out of the country, please feel free to give us a call. Education experts have warned of the potentially damaging effect on literacy of mobile phone text messaging after a student handed in an essay written in text shorthand. That's right. This comes from Scotland. The 13-year-old girl submitted the essay to a teacher in a state secondary school in the west of Scotland and explained that she found it easier than standard English. Her teacher, who asked not to be named, said, "I could not believe what I was seeing. The page was riddled with hieroglyphics, many of which I simply could not translate." The Scottish Qualifications Authority has expressed concern about the problem in its report on last year's standard grade exams and revealed that text messaging language was inappropriately used in the English exam. Have you, Jeff, ever come across this in one of your exams?
I do have an opinion. I read this story,
uh-huh.
And it's the kind of thing I encourage kids to do, but I do ask that they satisfy the assignment first. You know, she should have handed that in addition to the essay written out longhand types, however she did it.
But why would she do that? I mean, basically, this was her way of communicating.
But she's trying to work within a system that's not communicating that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's...
You know, if she was going to write it in longhand, you might as well leave it in longhand. Why translate it to this? You know, this
just,
is...
just No. I think it's good to actually to try something else. To
uh-huh.
say, look, I did what you wanted, but here's something different.
Right, but that's not what she was doing. She wasn't doing it to be clever. She was doing it because that's how she talks. She talks in this language. She writes in this language.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary thing. Judith Gillespie of the Scottish Parent Teacher Council said a decline in standards of grammar and written language was partly linked to the craze. There must be rigorous efforts from all quarters of the education system to stamp out the use of texting. Texting. Never heard that word before. As a form of written language, so far as English study is concerned, There has been a trend in recent years to emphasize spoken English. Pupils think orally and write phonetically. You would be shocked at the numbers of senior secondary pupils who cannot distinguish between there and there. Obviously, I meant T-H-E-I-R and T-H-E-R-E.
Mm-hmm.
What about T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E?
What about B-R-A-K-E and B-R-E-A-K? The problem is that there is a feeling in some schools that pupils' freedom of expression should not be inhibited. I guess the freedom to be completely illiterate is something as well. Dr. Cynthia McVeigh, a psychology lecturer at Glasgow Caledonian University, said texting was second nature to a generation of young people. They don't write letters, so sitting down to write or type an essay is unusual and difficult. They revert to what they feel comfortable with. Texting is attractive and uncomplicated. Now I use that word three times already, and I don't ever plan on using it again. And they actually print print excerpts of this. I can't possibly read this on the air because there's graphics and things in it, but it's really scary and crazy. You have to wonder about this. I have to say though that publishing a magazine, I come across all kinds of manifestations of the English language and it has to be translated back into something that can be read. We don't print smiley faces. You just can't do that in text. It doesn't work. It doesn't look good. It doesn't translate well. But it makes you think how many people really know how to write, write in standard English. It's kind of sad because that, to me, always reads better than shorthand and IRC talk and things like that. No offense to all the people on IRC, but there's a time and a place.
But this is the same as, when you're advertising in the back of the Village Voice or something,
Well, that's because you're trying to save money. People don't really talk that way.
No, it's true. But, I'm looking at this, and there's a lot of, the same kind of things going on.
Uh-huh.
Using the number two
instead
of the word two.
Yeah, but, Charles Dickens would never have done that. Can you imagine, A Tale of Two Cities with the two?
But he didn't have voice stream. He might have if he did.
Well, if he did, he would never have written any books, I'll tell you that right now. Look at this. We only have one call. Is something wrong with the phones? Or maybe we lost all our listeners in the 1 week we were away? We're sorry, whatever we did to offend people. Please call us, 212-209-2900. There we go.
There's something odd.
Yes.
There was a bug in SendMail, the popular mail.
So I keep
sending.
Hearing. Yeah.
But the odd thing about this particular bug, bugs in SendMail are old news, is that the Homeland Security folks were somehow responsible for managing the fixing of this bug. Which is...
Yeah, because Homeland Security now is in charge of cybersecurity.
Yeah, cyber criminal, cyber terrorists could...
And this supposedly was something really good for them because they showed how they could keep this information from the public, work with the companies affected, and have it fixed before anybody knew what was going on. Now imagine if we had discovered this first and told people about it, we'd probably be guilty of some kind of crime against humanity because Homeland Security is in charge of it now. I don't know. It's a little frightening.
I just want to mention something about the article. Mm-hmm. That it mentioned that thinking orally is considered to be wrong by that teacher. Because it said that thinking orally and writing phonetically.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that's the wrong way to do things. But aren't you supposed to think in words? And
that's not the same thing, thinking orally and thinking in words.
But
I don't know. I can't find the story.
This is educational philosophy. I think it's beyond us.
You got a light show now.
Yeah, let's take some calls. 212-209-2900. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
Gene from Philadelphia here. I got a request for you, please.
What's that?
I know you guys work with computers, and I really don't have a computer. And such things as the H2K2 show up in New York?
Uh-huh. That was our conference last year, yes.
Yeah. The thing is that since everything seems to be on a computer and I don't have it, I wish it would just give a regular telephone number so you'd know who to contact, because I was thinking about coming up, but I didn't know that much about the show.
Uh-huh. Well, we have this magazine, The magazine gave some information about it. We have the radio show. What we don't have are a lot of people that can answer phones and things like that, because that requires actual human presence and someone doing nothing else but answering phones.
What is the magazine? What's the name of that?
2600 Magazine.
Okay.
You knew that.
I knew that.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe I'll get something from that magazine, because I did a pledge last week.
Oh, really? Well, thanks very much.
Yeah, and matter of fact, I got the bill today.
Okay.
But maybe that'll explain a lot of things. You do have a very interesting show and all that.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
By the way, I've been trying to get a hold of Jim to work for the MTA since I work for SEPTA down here.
Well,
oh, hello.
He's right over here.
And matter of fact, I'm picking up on the radio. I'm not receiving it you over the telephone here, but I'm using both here.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just wondering if he can get in touch with me or I can get in touch with him. If I can give you my number, he can call me.
Easiest thing to do is probably snail mail me here, care of Off the Hook at WBAI-FM, 10th floor, 120 Wall Street, 10005. And I'll get back to you.
Okay. Well, then give me, what is your last name?
Ah, that's a carefully guarded secret.
You could just write Jim on the envelope and
there,
we'll make
there
sure
aren't that
gets
many options. Yeah, just put Jim and Off the Hook and WBAI.
All right, Jim, I'll be in touch then. I'll drop you a line.
How are you listening to the show?
I'm always on shortwave here.
Okay.
So, yeah. I can't see carrying a computer around. If I go somewhere, I can always carry the radio around.
Cool.
So,
all right, good for
this
you.
This is one of the, you know, trade-offs of, you staying on the air here.
Mm-hmm.
And, I can pick you up readily. But it seems like this is the first time I've gotten through in about 6-7 months here. I'm always calling, but
wow.
I just can't get through.
It's funny because there were no calls on the line a few minutes ago. Now, of course, it's full. So well, we're glad you got through.
Okay, thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
And it's good to know that we're being simulcast on all kinds of radio stations. A lot of people always write to us wanting to simulcast the show. I'm thinking maybe there's a possibility that we could have a sort of a higher grade broadcast that people can connect to on the internet where they could actually, you know, tie in a radio station. Because what we have now, I don't know if it's FM sound quality, what you listen to on the internet, but if there was something that was higher bandwidth, maybe we could have that for other radio stations. I don't know, it's just a thought. That
it does work well, though. I was down in North Carolina this summer,
yeah,
and it came in like a ton of bricks.
Really?
on my Yacht Boy, yeah.
Wow. And it's something, because I'm doing the other show now on the other station, Off the Wall, on Tuesday nights, and the letters we get from around the world, we get letters from England, from other parts of Europe, from Singapore, from Japan, and not so much from the local area, though, but actually, no, we do, but it's just funny to think how things have changed. When you did radio years ago, when we first started on this show, it was, you know, the local audience, pretty much. We didn't even have the show's archive. We didn't even, have them available in any form on the net. You heard it, and it was over, and that was it. And now, you know, it's a whole different audience. Not only is it the audience around the world, but it's the audience of people that listen to it a week later, a month later, a year later. So it really it changes things quite a bit, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So we're always open to ideas on ways we can improve things or, do different things. Let's take another phone call, 212-209-2900. And good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, let me turn down. Yeah, a couple of comments.
Okay.
First off, on the Nebelaw system, the Hertz system,
mm-hmm.
I was a big fan of it at one point until I had a bad experience in Toronto with the company itself.
Oh.
But just a funny note that while in San Diego once, it had me make 4 legal U-turns. That's how dependent I was on the unit.
But it knows where you can make a legal U-turn and where you can't.
Yeah, when I would actually tell you, hey, please make your next legal U-turn. I was looking for a quick place to eat.
Uh-huh.
Punched in the address. I said, please make your next legal U-turn.
Uh-huh.
Which is what I did. A moment later, please make your next legal U-turn. I did this 4 times. That's how dependent I was on this device. Yeah, exactly. I went around in a circle.
That's funny.
Yeah, just a quick note. I read today about an incident happening at a Cross Gates Mall in Albany, New York.
Yes, we were talking about that.
I missed you. That's something. That's quite something.
So this guy was arrested. This happened today. Is that the case? Or?
Well, this happened on Monday, and there was a protest about it actually at noon today. Over
okay.
There. But the guy had some custom T-shirts made at a place in the mall. And
he had the shirts made in that same mall?
Yes. The shirts made in the mall. One of them said, give peace a chance on one side and peace on earth on the other. That was the one that he was wearing.
Uh-huh.
The other one said, let the inspections work on one side and nowhere with a rack on the other. That one his son was wearing. And a Macy's employee saw the men in the food court and alerted security, which then approached him and asked him to leave. He refused to leave, and he was arrested.
I'd love to know how the Macy's employee described the situation to the security guy. There's a guy wearing a T-shirt in the food court. Oh, my God.
Now, here's the rule, though. I mean, here's how they were able to do this. Apparently, there are signs posted at the mall that say the wearing of apparel likely to provoke disturbances is prohibited, specifically apparel.
Uh-huh. That reminds me of the St. Louis Mall incident that I went through years ago, where wearing a baseball hat backwards was enough to get you kicked out of the mall. Because that's a gang symbol. But
what gang would this be? The Peaceniks? I mean, come on.
This would be the Bush gang, I guess.
No. This is not the Bush gang.
No, it's going to provoke a reaction is what it's going to do.
No. This clothing would not be worn by the Bush gang.
No, I'm saying wearing this clothing would provoke a reaction by the Bush gang. That's what I'm saying.
The laws.
I mean, this is what happened.
The laws on how much of a public place a mall is vary wildly from state to state. So I know, for example, in Texas, you a mall is essentially totally private property. They can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in states, more progressive states, there's a lot more compromise. You can do certain things that you could do in public property.
Mm-hmm.
Union states as opposed to ex-Confederate states, I would say.
Well, there's some states.
Well, I just don't like the whole idea of a mall being considered private property, you know, especially a food court, when it's the equivalent of a town square these days. We don't have those anymore. I mean, Sarah, if you're talking about how there's no community where you are, it's true. You know, the community is the mall. That's where people go.
Go to the mall, mm-hmm. Sarah.
So there's a trade-off there. You know, if the mall is going to be the new community, then it should be treated like the community of old, where basically it's considered a public area. Yeah, it might be owned by a company, but there are certain responsibilities to being, you know, the center of a community.
Right. But what the police actually said in this house to the man mm-hmm. was that the mall was, quote, like a private house, and that the man was behaving poorly.
By wearing a shirt. I have a question. They wanted to take what? They wanted to go bare-chested in the mall? Is that what
I would have done that if I was that guy. Although I totally disagree with the sentiments of that shirt. I would have put that shirt on just so I could take it off and walk around bare-chested and show them what idiots they were.
And you would have, of course, painted the same slogan on your chest, right?
I wouldn't go that far. Keep in mind, I'm one of those Republicans who just happens to believe in civil liberties. So I'm torn all the time lately.
There's going to be a lot of tearing ahead, I have a feeling. All right, let's take another phone call.
Don't spindle or mutilate.
212-209-2900. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
I don't think you hit the button.
You know, I did hit the button. And look, it even went away. He hopped all the way over there. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi there.
How you doing?
Good. You know, when I got that report about Delta Airlines the other day, I called them up and I tried to ask about it. And they tried to push me off on the TSA also.
Really?
But apparently you're much more of a pushover than I am, because I persisted with it. And I said, well, you know, I don't want the TSA. I want to talk to someone in Delta Airlines.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Delta SkyMiles member, and I want to know if you're going to go through with this plan. And she said, okay, let me try to get you somebody. And I said, well, you know, because if you're going to go through with this plan, I'm going to cancel my SkyMiles membership and I'll never fly Delta again. So I think that everybody out there, especially if you're a SkyMiles member, should call Delta and complain about this and threaten to not use their business anymore.
Well, you know what's interesting?
Why are they requiring? She tried to say that the TSA was making them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if they were making you do it, they wouldn't just choose your airline. Why did they choose Delta?
That's a good point.
I didn't have a good answer for that.
That's a very good point.
So I would like everybody to call Delta, complain about this, and threaten not to fly on Delta in the future.
But you know what else? This is only happening in a few airports. It's not happening at every airport. It's happening at a few undisclosed airports. Nobody knows which ones they are. And it's only that one airline, supposedly. So, but it could be other airlines, it could be other airports, and they're just not saying anything about it, you know? Why did this become public?
Yeah, she said it was just at a few airports.
And?
But I didn't go for that, and I persisted, and, you know, she gave me some address to write to for the head of Delta Airlines.
Well, I know there are Delta employees that listen to us, so please write to us, oth@2600.com, or the address we gave out previously, and we'll be happy to spread what information we get about this this ridiculous program. Thanks for that call. Yes,
I'm going to fly next week. I'll actually push.
Are you
this
flying in. Delta?
I'm sorry, no, another airline.
But you could change to Delta.
Don't
you want to find out what color? Oh, you won't find out what color you are, will you? They don't tell you because it's like a coded type of thing they put on your ticket. If we could figure out that code, that's.
I think he also wants to get there.
Well, yeah, it's true. I guess you do want to get there without... Look, you can see all kinds of other sites on the way.
There's a website that Seraph has printed out, Boycott Delta.
Mm-hmm. BoycottDelta.com. Speaking of not flying Delta, their slogan being, less legroom, no privacy guaranteed.
And this is a site that just got formed because of this.
This was just formed because of this, and they're keeping track of the developments with this.
Cool. Well, that's great. Hopefully you can keep going to that site. It won't say this site is owned by the U.S. government. Now, what's up with that, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
There's been some really scary things going on in the past couple of weeks with sites being taken over by the federal government. First of all, it started with a head shop, right, or a bunch of head shops being raided. A bunch of head shops being raided by federal authorities. These are shops that sell, you know, smoking equipment that could be used for, you know, marijuana and various other things. These people have not been convicted of a crime. They've simply been, raided and searched and things like that. However, their websites no longer go to their sites. They go to the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency. And the scary thing about that was they didn't do anything to the computers that are owned by the people. They went to the registrars, and they said, make sure that you forward this particular domain to this particular site. And what's particularly frightening about that is the fact that anybody going to their site, not knowing what was happening, has their address sent to the Drug Enforcement Agency, and that is scary.
You're visiting a government computer unbeknownst to you until, of course, you see the message.
Mm-hmm.
But you're visiting a government computer, and that computer is in a position to collect all sorts of information from you.
Yeah. And then about a week or so after that, ISL News was affected. That's... What's that site known for? It's basically...
They sold mod chips for different kinds of video game systems,
right,
to let you do things with them that they're not intended for.
But lots of people sell them. I mean, we're looking at this whole DMCA thing again, where you know, you're using technology in ways it wasn't intended by the person who created it or whatever. But what happened was they got raided, and now if you go to isonews.com, it's a lot more blatant. It says this site is now owned by the federal government.
It's very strange, though. I almost thought it was a hoax at first, because the government has put the little animated ISO News graphic on their site that says it's shut down. And the text written by the government talks about the wares scene, which is hardly a legal term. So I was skeptical at first, but I tracked down the server, and the server is located at the Department of Justice.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now. The ISO News is now the property of the United States government. The domain and website were surrendered to U.S. law enforcement pursuant to a federal prosecution and felony plea agreement for conspiracy to violate criminal copyright laws. And they talk about this guy named Crazy Aid, and they talk about all kinds of people with different handles. And it just looks kind of weird seeing the federal government using that kind of lingo. But it closes with, the Department of Justice and federal law enforcement will continue to investigate and prosecute individuals and groups that violate the federal criminal copyright laws at home and abroad. For more information on these and other federal anti-piracy investigations, visit www.cybercrime.gov.
Now, one part of that really gets me. It's the and abroad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. But it doesn't seem to make much of a difference anymore, does it?
I like the new site for the ISO News. The address is stolemy.com.
Oh, is that what it
is? Yes, that's their new address now.
Is that the person that is actually...
Yeah.
Well, good for them.
Let's go to that and see what they have.
Yeah,
also,
I think I will. Stolemy, what is it?
Stolemy.com.
Okay.
Also, mod chips aren't really used for pirating anything. They're used so you could play games released in Japan on American systems.
See,
okay.
Doesn't that sound like DECFS?
Yeah, it is just like DECFS.
At least once in a while, they're intellectually consistent.
Yeah, okay, I see this now. Apparently they have an IRC channel called ISO News, and they thank their core and update staff, their dedicated supporters, all the ISO groups, and not really any... Well, actually, no, there's news, so I guess I could read that.
Didn't the government say that they surrendered the old website?
Well, who knows what you have to agree to?
But I'm saying that I don't think it was a plea deal.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been prosecuted.
In this case, the seizure of the domain by the government was part of a plea bargain by the people who ran ISO News. But in the other case of those other domains, it's much stranger. It definitely wasn't part of any kind of plea bargain, and it's not even really clear under what sort of legal authority they were taking.
And there's no news on this site that I can see anyway about what actually happened, but that's where the site can be found now, stolemy.com. It's just really crazy and scary to think that if you're suspected of a crime, your way of speaking will be seized and operated by the federal government. That's just really wacky. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, hi. I just was checking the Delta Employee Newsline. Apparently, people's concerns about the new security program has gotten through to Delta. I can read you what it says here. It says,
okay.
Delta's been getting many questions from employees and customers about its participation in the Transportation Security Administration's CAPS II program. CAPS II is a federal program administered by the TSA as a result of the heightened threat of terrorism to the country. Delta's role in the CAPS II program will be limited to providing data to the TSA that Delta already collects from passengers as part of our normal reservations and ticketing process. And blah, blah, blah after that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, so they actually do seem to be aware of it anyway, but I don't know if it's going to make any difference.
Yeah, they're concerned, but I don't know. But like they were saying, to hear a lot from their passengers and customers would be a good idea.
Yeah.
You
all right.
Forward us the rest of that text.
Yes.
OTH@2600.com.
I think we'd appreciate it.
Yeah, did you get that email address? OTH@2600.com.
Sure.
Is our address. And thanks very much for that update. And thanks to everybody who called in tonight. We'll be back again next week with another action-packed edition of Off the Hook. Please feel free to write to us if you have any interesting news stories or things you'd like us to cover. And again, our snail mail address is Off the Hook, care of WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Okay. And we'll see you next week. Good night. Get there at 2600 meetings this Friday in whatever city you happen to be in, the first Friday of the month. Check www.2600.com/meetings for locations.